From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 24th day of November 2010. I'm Todd Gleason. In a moment, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. And a bit later in the program, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, U.S. Senator Dick Durbin says he got the message at yesterday's Illinois Commodity Conference in Bloomington. Fix the estate tax. John Deere and Company has reported a $457 million profit. And Canada has gained duty-free access to export beef to the European Union. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with these and many more ag news stories. Later in the program, Drew Lerner will be here from World Weather Incorporated to look at the agricultural weather forecast. And I'll bring you some of the thoughts of Purdue Extension ag economist Chris Hurt on the hog market. Right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Here's the way the numbers settled up in Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon. Futures in the wheat pit finished the July contract at $7.21¾, 4 cents higher. December corn today at $5.38¾, up 10¼. The March at $5.53¾, up 10¾. And May corn at $5.61½, up 10¾. July futures $5.65, up 10½ cents. Next year's December at $5.07¾, up 13 today. January soybeans $12.55, up 16. The March at $12.62¾, 16½ higher. May at $12.63¼, up 17, and July $12.66¼, up 18¼. Next year's November soybeans at $11.69¾, up 20¾. December oats at $3.84¼, up 3/4. December bean meal at $3.40.20, down 50. December oil at $50.24. $1.02 higher on the afternoon. Nearby December live cattle futures at $101.92½, up 37½ cents for the day. February futures at $105.60, 37½ cents higher as well. January feeder cattle at $118.27½, up 45 cents. The March contract at $119 for 100 pounds, up 70 cents on this Monday, or rather on this Wednesday. December lean hogs, $70.37½, up 55 cents. And the February futures there at $77.60 per 100 pounds, up 70 cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like. At this hour, crude oil futures trading the January contract at $83.90 a barrel, $2.65 higher. Ethanol at $2.14¼, up 3¾ cents. December natural gas at $4.26¼. That's 0.3 cents higher, although the January contract is down 1¢/0.6 at $4.39¹. Heating oil or diesel fuel, just about 7¢/0.7 higher at $2.32¹. And the gold futures trading at $1,372.90 when they settled the November contract, down $4.60 today. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 11,175, just about 139 points higher on the afternoon. And the U.S. dollar for the day at 79.86 is 0.18 higher. The CRB index at 302.26 is up 4.57 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like. On this Wednesday afternoon, the National Weather Service says rain is possible, a few thunderstorms. High should be near 41, and then it'll fade off. East-southeast winds are at 18 miles an hour. They'll gust as high as 29. The chance of precipitation, of course, 100% in Urbana-Champaign. Tonight, rainy, possibly a thunderstorm, a low of 38. East-southeast winds at 10 to 16. Winds will gust to 24. Chance of precip this evening in the area, 90%. For Thanksgiving Day, rain likely before noon, then a chance of snow and sleet. Mostly cloudy skies, a temp falling to around 31 degrees. By 4 p.m., northwest winds at 11 to 16 miles an hour. They'll gust all the way up to 24. The chance of precip is 60%. New snow and sleet accumulation of less than a half an inch is possible. More on the agricultural weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the hour, and we talk with Drew Lerner.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Wednesday afternoon. As always, Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services from Oakland, Illinois, is on the phone line with us today. Hi, Paul. How are you?
Good afternoon, Todd.
Paul, thanks so much for being with us on this day before Thanksgiving. Is there any seasonal trends that we ought to know about around this holiday?
Historically, they're somewhat friendly. The day before, the day after Thanksgiving. But I wanted to tip the hat to Todd Gleason and company for the wonderful Commodity Week show last week. I thought it was one of the better ones with your team and also Bob Bondurant from Memphis, Tennessee. His comments about acreage and South America, China, the acreage mix, I thought were very interesting, and I thought it was will go down in the annuals as one of the better ones.
It must be, because I've heard more about that particular program than I have, I think, on any other Commodity Week we've produced, and I've been doing this for a long time, over a couple, two or three decades, standing in or not on occasion, or as the primary host. And John Bondurant is one of the favorites. It's still up and still on the website at willag.org. It's a 15-minute program. You can go get that. And it's also in the archive there, too, so you can find it. Even after we replace the current Commodity Week, it'll show up for a while there. Let's talk about the marketplace and what you think. Lay out the fundamental picture for me and what really is taking place around the globe at this point in the way of ending stocks and usage and demand and what the possible changes might be?
One of the things to go out here that, has the market been acting right, is a good question to start out when we'll go on to those others. The other morning when we had the major problem with Korea, shooting at each other, we did see that early morning, early night trade that was higher and then basically sold off. And we saw the gold finally, begrudgingly, after the, about 9 o'clock started to take off. But in the meantime, it had sold off considerably. And, of course, anytime there's a political crisis or saber-rattling, gold usually goes up tremendously. I thought that was an extremely interesting knee-jerk reaction, and also the crude oil was horrible. The dollar gained strength, which I think was reasonable, but the soybeans were horrible. And, of course, when the real police action back in the early 50s took place in Korea, we did see 3 days limit up in soybeans. The Pueblo problem, we saw beans rally pretty hard on that issue. Getting back to when we're still in a downtrend in corn, we've seen the commodity funds get beat up bad, and it would take a trade 560, I think, on Thursday night to turn the trend up. We're in an uptrend in soybeans. What is going to really ignite some of those bullish theories? And, of course, I wrote three down, a dry South America, a buying binge, or a very big surprise on the next USDA crop production report. So one of those three things I think will come about, in which we will see, a series of very strong price action. But in the meantime, it was kind of a gentleman's afternoon here in the marketplace.
A gentleman's afternoon, and they did finish higher. Beans were up 16 cents, corn up a dime. Wheat, though, kind of the lagging behind, just a gain of 4 cents in the July contract.
Getting over to the supply-demand, there is this rumor out that there has been a very large corn sale booked, and it will show up somewhere and take world supplies of corn, maybe out of the U.S. and maybe done in an overseas corporation, so it doesn't have to be basically put into the supply-demand mix. The other thing I think that we are continuing to see this gentleman's agreement of buying soybeans from the China to the U.S., and there was a new crop bean sale this morning on the books. I thought all this is very interesting, and the market still isn't getting excited here like we should or think it should be going up if you're kind of a bull. But the market does have a lot to digest. The good news is harvest is over with. The actual amount of grain that's sown by the farmers, I think, is very, very small. So we do have some good things going for us if the right cards fall into place.
All right. You mentioned that soybeans were in a uptrend. Corn was, in your mind, still in a downtrend. At this point, you gave us a market which it might turn around. How likely do you think that is?
I think it will and can. And it does take, as I think, some time here. And I think we'll start to see some basis levels. And at some point in time, if it was announced overnight, and I think this is important, several key sources said that the Chinese are basically admitting privately that they need corn, sugar, and, of course, cotton. And, somebody said, why are they buying so many beans? Well, it's the balance, the rations of they don't need to put as much, feed as much corn if you have a balanced ration in your hog and poultry feeds and things of that nature. So ultimately, it's an ongoing deal, and at some point in time, I think that once Argentina and Brazil get sold out of corn, I think that market will start shifting with exports improving here in the U.S., and I think the marketplace agrees with me on that one. And, of course, the soybean demand continues to be excellent, and their crush margins are out of sight.
Paul, thank you so very, very much, and have a good Thanksgiving.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens on a Wednesday afternoon. If you'd like to hear him again, you can do it in a couple of ways. Of course, visit our website. The address is willag.org. You can dial up this phone number, 217-333-3434. It's our mobile analyst portal. We update it at 10:15 and 3:15 daily.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
And you're listening to the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Our director of agricultural programming, Dave Dickey, is here now. He'll take us through the agricultural news for the afternoon.
In agricultural news, U.S. Senate Majority Whip Dick Durbin told a commodity group conference yesterday that he heard two words over and over from the time he walked through the DoubleTree hotel doors: estate tax. Durbin says, quote, "I get it. I hear what you're saying." The estate tax expired at the end of 2009, but anxiety is setting in throughout farm country because the tax is expected to return with a $1 million exemption and a 55% rate in January. Durbin called that rate, quote, "ungodly low and unrealistic." Senior Russian officials say that Russia will slash its poultry import quota, but will keep quotas on beef and pork to prevent the mass slaughter of cattle due to a feed shortage after the worst drought in over a century. The poultry quota will be cut to 350,000 tons. The 2011 poultry meat quota was previously set at 600,000 tons. The pork quota was set at 472,100 tons, frozen beef at 530,000 tons, and fresh or refrigerated beef at 30,000 tons. Farm equipment maker John Deere and Company reversed a loss in last year's fiscal fourth quarter to report a $457.2 million profit as conditions improved on U.S. farms. But the company today reported continued weakness in some of its regions and market segments, and it said overall demand, quote, remained far below normal levels. The Moline, Illinois company says it made $1.07 per share in the quarter that ended October 31st. A year earlier, it had a loss of $222.8 million, or 53 cents per share, due to charges. Canadian agricultural officials today say that Canada has gained duty-free access to the European Union for a 20,000-ton annual quota of beef. That matches access that Europe has already granted to the United States. The Commerce Department today says that U.S. consumer spending rose for a fourth straight month in October. Spending rose 0.4% after climbing by an upwardly revised 0.3% in September. The Federal Reserve's preferred measure of consumer inflation, the Personal Consumption Expenditures Price Index, excluding food and energy, was flat for a second straight month. But in the 12 months through October, the core PCE index rose 0.9%, the smallest since records started in 1960, and well below the U.S. Central Bank's 1.722% comfort zone. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up next, hog producers have been feeling the bite of losses once again this fall. We'll have some of the reasons why and some of the reasons for a bit of optimism in that industry with Purdue Extension ag economist Chris Hurt. First notes Purdue Extension ag economist Chris Hurt as he thinks about the price of pork in the coming months. Hog prices are probably at their seasonal lows. Well, that's because late November is when consumers buy their Thanksgiving turkey rather than their Christmas ham. Secondly, he says the price of inputs have backed off.
Lower corn and meal prices provide an opportunity to lock in feed prices at levels that were not available just a few weeks ago. The 2011 outlook also provides some optimism for a year of positive margins, at least on average. Producers may want to consider taking some of those positive margins right now.
Here's the how and why. Live prices, says Hurt, are expected to average near $50 in the final quarter of this year and then move higher into 2011. First quarter prices are expected to average about $55 per live hundredweight, with the second and third quarter prices stretching to $62 and $61, respectively. The last quarter prices are expected to drop into the mid to lower 50s. These hog prices are derived as forecast of cash prices for current lean hog futures, which means these prices can be hedged by pork producers.
While lean hog futures are relatively optimistic at the current time, feed prices have also dropped, and that provides some profitable margining opportunities for 2011. Taking margins can be accomplished in the futures market by selling lean hog futures for 2011 and buying corn and meal futures. And then, of course, later, one's going to have to convert those futures positions into cash positions. Margins can also be taken in the cash market or even through combinations of futures and cash positions.
Current estimated returns per head by quarter in 2011 are minus $4, plus $14, plus $16 in the third quarter, and plus $1 for the fourth quarter, for an average of about a $7 profit per head for the whole of the calendar year. It's clear then, says Chris Hurt, that the second and third quarters are where the money will be made, with the first and fourth quarters closer to break even or at a small loss. It's a pattern that reflects the seasonality of hog prices, with higher hog prices in the warmer weather months providing the greatest profitability. Well, the last calendar year of extremely high corn prices was back in 2008, when the simple average of U.S. monthly prices received by farmers was $4.78 a bushel. For 2011, the forecast is $4.87 per bushel based on corn future prices before the opening on November the 22nd. Well, the year of 2008 was a loss year in the hog industry of about $17 a head for farrow to finish production. The difference for 2011 is much higher hog prices after substantial herd reduction from 08 to 2010. Live hog prices are expected to average near $57 in 2011. That's some $10 higher than in 2008.
The decision of when and how to take hog margins, well, that's going to be made by each individual producer. But one of the most important criteria most producers are going to seek is that they would like to be taking margins when they have the opportunity for profitable margins. And it turns out right now, for most of 2011, there is a profitable opportunity in margining.
It's all about locking in a profit and using the seasonal trends to predict when to pull the trigger for the pork industry, which Chris Hurt says is right now. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and Moline. More information is available from Rebecca King in Galesburg at 309-341-5007. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Wednesday afternoon. Tara Oliver from the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana, now joins us to take up the cash grain market. Good afternoon to you, Tara. Thanks for being with us.
No problem.
Tell me about cash grain movement, if there is any in your area, please.
Yeah, movement has kind of been slow, it seems like, going into the holiday this week especially. You know, a lot of people are still waiting to get this board back up a little bit higher before they move more grain.
Has your basis been tight?
Basis has kind of continually increased pretty steadily. We just rolled to the March futures tonight, but we've seen most processors continue to pay small overs, kind of moving up versus the December.
That for corn and beans?
For beans, it has stayed pretty steady, actually. We haven't seen as much of an increase in bean basis as corn, but, you know, depending on inventory, some processors are kind of starting to get more competitive with that basis as well.
Your ethanol plant still producing at full throttle?
Yes, we sure are.
And your expectations when you get to January 1 is for what to happen, do you know?
With our production at the ethanol plant?
Yeah, because we don't know what's going to happen with the blender's tax credit.
Yeah, I mean, as long as margins are good, we continue and want to run at full throttle. I mean, until we see a decrease in margins or, you know, maybe something change with the ethanol mandate. But as of now, we are going to take advantage of it and continue to run at full capacity.
What are your expectations for producers between now and the time that we get to the end of the year? Will there be much grain movement, do you think, corn or beans?
I think it will be a little bit more limited. This year's just so much different since harvest came earlier. There's not as much of a natural flow, so I think that's where it's up to the processors and elevators for that matter as well to, you know, improve the basis to make that grain flow. We've seen rail values continue to increase as well, so a lot of rail houses and elevators are remaining competitive. And if processors do need the corn to continue to keep their plants running, or even the beans for that matter, they're going to have to, you know, improve their basis enough to make producers want to move that corn. So,
go ahead.
As of now, I think that we may start to be seeing that, and into December, you know, just depending on what inventory levels are, you may see that continue.
And your bids for the day are?
We are at 546 for Nov Dec, 544 for January, 551 February, 556 March, 561 April, 565 May, 562 June, 565 July, and 468 for next fall.
Thanks so much, Tara.
No problem.
Tara Oliver is with the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. In a couple minutes, I'll be back with the agricultural weather forecast.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
Just a couple of notes here as we head into the Thanksgiving weekend or holiday tomorrow, and then for a weekend for Dave Dickey and I, we will be off not only tomorrow but on Friday, though there is trade of the market on Friday. And on this program, WILL and some of our other radio stations, we will air a closing market report. Commodity Week, of course, will record this afternoon at 4:30 and put it up on the website at willag.org by about 6 o'clock this evening. It'll run its regular times on Saturday. And some things that you might want to do while you're on the website, check out the Ag Masters program that comes up from the crop science folks here on campus. That's at ipm.illinois.edu. Still a chance to book your seat for the Ag Masters. It's December 2nd and 3rd. You can do that at ipm.illinois.edu. The Corn and Soybean Classic Series is coming up the first couple of weeks of January. You'll find a way to register for that at ipm.illinois.edu as well. And then the Farm Doc meeting, that's the Ag Econ Summits, are scheduled for the third week of this coming month of December. I'll host those as well across the state. And if you visit the Farm Doc website at farmdoc.illinois.edu, you'll find a way to register for those programs. Go check them out now. Get yourself registered. Usually if you register, there's a bit of a discount rather than trying to walk in. I know the Farm Doc is $50 if you pre-register, $65 if you walk in ahead of time. In a moment, more from the agricultural weather with Drew Lerner. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City is with us. Happy Thanksgiving to you, Drew.
Same to you, Todd.
Tell me about tomorrow here in the Midwest.
Well, it does look as though, at least for the rest of this evening, if you are going to be making travel plans, stay away from going northwestward if you can avoid it. It's going to be a very icy mess in the northwestern part of the Midwest, including parts of Iowa, Wisconsin, and Minnesota in particular. We've had some freezing drizzle right across the heart of Illinois here this morning and early this afternoon, and that's likely to continue for a little while, although by far the worst travel conditions will be off to the north and northwest in particular. This particular storm system is going to produce some very impressive rainfall across the lower and eastern parts of the Midwest. We'll look for 1 to 3 inches of rainfall occurring in some of that region, and a lot of that will come with some thunderstorm activity as well. So it'll all happen fairly quickly, and we may end up with, believe it or not, some flash flooding. But it won't last very long. As you know, the subsoil is very dry across the Midwest, so that moisture will percolate down into the ground rather deeply in a short period of time. But because it does, because the rain is going to occur in a relatively short period, we will see some very quick localized urban flooding in particular. Anyway, once that system is out of the way, the next big rain event for the heart of the Midwest will probably hold off until sometime around the middle part of next week, and it really isn't going to be anywhere near as big as this event we have right now. But again, if you're traveling into the northwestern part of the region, look out, because it will get very icy up that way.
I don't suppose that that rainfall makes much of a dent in the dry areas of the lower Midwest, because they're so very dry.
That's true. One thing that we want everyone to keep in mind, as we go through this La Nina-dominated winter, that same corridor that's getting the heavy rain over the next 2 days will be the very same area that gets heavy rain frequently during the winter. So by the time we get to spring, that region from southeastern Missouri over to Ohio will probably be totally saturated and will be running some risks of some flooding by the time we get into the start of the spring season. So we are going to go from one extreme to the other in that area. The rest of the Midwest probably won't see nearly as much moisture.
Good to know. Take me to South America and talk about their crops, please.
Certainly, Argentina at this point is the focal point of interest in the marketplace, just simply because of the fact that it hasn't been raining much and the forecast is still downplaying it quite a bit. As we go forward through the next few days, there will be a disturbance that will move from south to north across Argentina's key crop areas. It'll be mostly a Thursday through Sunday event. We'll look for a couple tenths to three quarters of an inch of rain. Overall coverage may be up around 70%. So a lot of areas will get some rain, but it's not enough to really really fix their moisture deficit situation in some areas, but it'll be enough that crops will not be pushed into any kind of really extreme stress either, so they will still hang in there. It looks as though temperatures during the week next week will get very warm across Argentina. It's probably the hottest so far this season. A lot of 80s and 90s expected, and rainfall will be ebbing lower again. So Argentina is still on the watch list. Some of that dryness will be spreading into southernmost Brazil as we move deeper into December.
Thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, have a happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, you too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. A couple of notes. The markets are closed tomorrow. They are open on Friday, though. I'm going to take the day off. I'll be here on tape for you. I'd like to spend that with my family. You have a great Thanksgiving. I'm Todd Gleason.